Good morning. Thank you for joining me today for a Sunday morning with Love in Action. I'm so glad you joined me today. I hope you are having a great day, a great Memorial Day weekend. Lots of cookouts, I'm sure, going on. Hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken, all that good stuff being grilled up this weekend. I'm sure many people are at the beach, but please take time in all of your celebration and family gatherings to remember what Memorial Day is all about. It's remembering those who have died in service to this country. And just want to thank everyone who serves this country, all the branches of the military. This weekend is about those who have served and they have died in their service to their country. And it always reminds me of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, where Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So all those families out there who have lost loved ones, thank you for your sacrifice as well. And as we open up in prayer this morning, let's be sure that we pray for our country. Be sure we pray for those who have lost loved ones in their service to our great nation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for another day that you've given us. We thank you for a weekend, Lord, that's traditionally set around family gatherings, people grilling up hamburgers and hot dogs and just having a good time. But Lord, it's also, and more importantly, a time that we remember those who died in service to this country. God, thank you for each one. Lord, you tell us that greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. And God, so many have. And we thank you for their families, Lord, that they lost their loved ones. And God, those who have experienced recent losses, Lord, we just want to pray an extra portion of your comfort upon them, Father. And Lord, we thank you for our nation. We thank you for every person who's serving in the military, every branch of the military. Lord, watch over them. Watch over their families. Protect them all. Keep them all safe from all harm, Father God. And we pray for the leaders of our country, God, that they will seek after you first above all else. God, that repentance will be asked by our leaders as well as by each one of us. And Lord, may we repent as a nation for our sins, and may we truly seek after you, Lord, and may this country experience an awakening like never before. All for your glory, Father God. Father, we thank you for our local leaders, our mayor, our commission, city commission, our Houston County Commission, Lord, the judges, the police officers, the firemen, all the first responders, Lord, all the leaders locally as well as state, our governor, our representatives and senators, Lord, just continue to guide and direct them all, Father God, and help them all to seek after your wisdom. You tell us to ask, so I pray each one will. Father, be with all of those who are ministers of your gospel. Lord, help us to lead like you have called us to lead. Help us to be repentant of our sins and to lead by the example that you give us, Jesus, to be servant leaders. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for everything you do, Lord. Thank you for who you are. God Almighty, we thank you for sending us your one and only Son, and that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. I pray for everyone listening today who don't know you as their Savior and Lord. Lord, may today be that day. Draw them in, Lord. Holy Spirit, open up their hearts to receive all that Christ did on that cross. Father, I pray for encouragement for believers. God, that you will just continue to lift them up and continue to bring encouragement in their lives, Lord, and continue to open all of our eyes to what's most important in this life. It's not things. It's not chasing after different things in this world, but it's serving and living for you, Jesus, dedicating our lives to serving you, to loving you, to getting to know you better, to telling others about you, to making disciples. So, Father, we just want to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, and we love you, and we ask you now as we open up your word that you will speak to us. Holy Spirit, teach us, and may we be doers of your word, not hearers only. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know that you're loved? Have you ever felt like you haven't been loved? Or maybe you feel like you're unlovable. I think most of us, if we're honest, we can say there's been times in our lives that we felt unlovable. Maybe times in our lives where we felt like we were unloved. But I've got good news for you this morning. God loves you. Oh, He loves you beyond anything any of us could ever imagine. And this morning, we're going to look at a verse that is so powerful. It is an awesome verse, just filled with the emotion of God's love for us. And that's in the Old Testament. A minor prophet named Zephaniah. We're going to read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. So turn in your Bibles, or if you're listening and driving, please don't turn. Just listen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Wow, that is a powerful, powerful scripture. And we're going to break that down today and look at some other verses as well. But that's our key verse, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And invite you to, and encourage you to, today, this evening, this coming week, read that for yourself and just meditate on it. Just let everything that God is saying there just sink down deep into your heart. Because when we do that with God's word, it's even more amazing. And we're going to talk about Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, but there's just so much more to it. So that's why I encourage you to read it for yourself, pray on it, and just meditate on it. But this is a prophecy about restoring Israel. Many believe it's about the messianic era of millennial blessing and restoration, when God brings all of his people together. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." Therefore, this is all about those who believe in Jesus, God's people who believe in His Son. And so therefore, God is in our midst currently, right now. He saves through His Son, Jesus Christ. He rejoices. He rejoices over us with gladness. He quiets us by His love, and He does exalt us, or exceedingly rejoices over us with loud singing. Now, the word exult isn't one that's used all that often anymore, but you can read that as exceedingly rejoices over us with loud singing. Not a whisper, but with loud singing. And you just picture this. Try, if you can, in your mind, that God Almighty, the creator of this universe, the one who created you and me, He loves us so much. He is rejoicing over us with gladness, and He is singing loudly over us. It's just a phenomenal picture. If we can just try to picture that in our minds, God is awesome. And His word just shows us over and over and over and over again how much He loves us. But Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 depicts an astonishing act of God's grace in the person and work of Jesus. God's mighty power and tender affections meet. Jesus proves that God is mighty to save His people through the sacrifice of His Son. This amazing scripture describes God's deep and abiding love for us. In studying for this message, I found a writing or devotional in the Jesus Bible, and I wanted to read it to you this morning. I just thought it was so powerful and so beautiful. And it's titled, "He Will Rejoice Over You with Gladness." Zephaniah closed his book by pointing his audience to the coming day of the Lord. The impending judgment will be extensive as the jealous anger of the Lord removes all prideful people from the city of Jerusalem. On that day, God's wrath will leave no rebel untouched. However, within His city, God will leave people who are humble, His remnant. As a foreshadowing of later teaching in Matthew chapter 5, the meek will inherit Jerusalem. In an appropriate response to the swift and decisive judgment of their enemies, Zephaniah called upon believers to rejoice. Their God, the Mighty One, was with them. Their rejoicing is reflective of another's rejoicing. Zephaniah goes on to detail the Lord's affection towards his people. Zephaniah does not portray God as indifferent to his people. Rather, God delights in those whom he delivers. In fact, the one who created music, soaring melodies and resonant harmonies, actually singing over his people. Though God sees his people this way, God's people often fail to see God this way, as one who enthusiastically rejoices over them. The Apostle Paul, knowing the calloused human heart, prayed that believers' eyes would be enlightened to see God's joy in the redeemed. His prayer for the Ephesian church included a request that they might see the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The inheritance Paul described does not appear to be one awaiting God's people. Rather, the inheritance is one that awaits God. God sees a diverse body of believers united in and clothed with Christ's righteousness. The meek inherit the earth. God inherits the meek. Zephaniah described a mighty to save God who would be with his people. In the Gospel of Matthew, an angel appeared to Joseph to tell him to name his soon-to-arrive son Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew goes on to interpret this as a fulfillment of another name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This saving God dwells with us and delights in his people. God rejoices over those who choose to trust him. Again, our God loves us. He rejoices over us. And I just fall more in love with God each and every day. He is so awesome. And in this scripture, Zephaniah 3:17, there's five promises from God. There's five things that God does. Let's look at those. Number one, God is indeed with us. He is in our midst. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Even his name, the name of Jesus, means God is with us. He is with us. And though Jesus died and he rose again and he ascended unto heaven, he is still with us. He said, "I will send the promise being the Holy Spirit." And as we surrender our lives to him, the Holy Spirit comes into us. Therefore, Christ is with us. He is in us. So he is here. He's with us. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." You see, God, he is a very present help in trouble. He's here. He's with us. He's present. All these troubles that this whole world's been going through the past several months, God is still with us. He's still here. It's been a time of trouble, but his presence is still with us. He's still here. So we can run to him. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and he's our strength. So as we're going through troubled times, don't try to do it on our own. Rely on God. Run to him. He's our refuge and he's our strength. We have to realize we can't do this by ourselves. We need God, and God is right here with us. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not." There's so much fear going on right now. God tells us to fear not. He tells us over 300 times in his word to fear not, because he knows we're people who tend to lean towards fearing. But we don't have to. We can trust in him. Because why? Because he's with us. He strengthens us. He helps us. He upholds us. He's in our midst. Number two, God is mighty to save. There's a wonderful song that has that as its title. Our God is mighty to save. I won't sing it to you. because I want you to keep listening. But it's a powerful song about our powerful God, because yes, He is mighty to save. He sent His only Son, Jesus, to save us. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come here just because He felt like it was a good thing to do. He came here because we needed Him. We needed a Savior. And He came to seek and to save the lost. So that's all of us. If we're a believer now, well, we were lost at one time. And Jesus came to us, and we surrender to Him. And if you're not a believer right now, oh, I pray that you do become one. It's the greatest life ever, experiencing the love of Jesus. But Jesus came for you. And God is mighty to save through His Son, Jesus. As we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, the most popular verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, we believe, and He saves us. And we won't perish spiritually. I mean, physically, we're all going to die, unless the Lord returns first, which we don't know when that's going to happen. So physically, we're going to die, but spiritually, we're going to live on. And that destination is up to us. Jesus offers salvation. He offers eternal life. If we turn Him down, then eternal separation, eternal destruction in hell, which will be thrown in the lake of fire, is eternity. And people in hell know that they're there. And they know the torture that's going on. They know the separation from God forever. They know what that feels like. But if we receive God's forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, by believing upon His name, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. He came for whosoever's, and that's all of us. We're all a whosoever. If we believe in our heart that He died for us, that He rose again, we confess Jesus as Lord, as our Lord, the Word of God says we'll be saved. We follow Him from that point. And how do we follow Him? Well, we need to read His Word. We need to learn His Scripture and become a disciple of Christ, and that's through learning Scripture, being taught His Word, and then through action, through being taught how to serve, how to pray, how to read His Word, how to serve others, how to love others. And when we do that, we believe in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, we have eternal life, because our God is mighty to save. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves us all. Sometimes it's just so mind-blowing. It's like it can't be possible. But it is. It's very real, because God is very real. That's just how much He loves us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our God is mighty to save through His Son, Jesus, and he brings us back to Himself. So we have peace with God. Sin separated us from God. And when we're separated from God and there's sin, there's no peace. But we can have peace with Almighty God and come back into that relationship that He created us to be, that He made us for. That's how much He loves us. He's mighty to save. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He has reconciled us to God. Jesus has done that. We're justified by His blood. We're saved by Jesus from the wrath of God. Even while we were enemies, God still loved us, and He still sent His Son Jesus for us. That's how much He loves us. And we're reconciled to Almighty God, our Father. And then check this out. Number 3, God rejoices over us with gladness. God, our Creator, rejoices over His creation, over His most prized creation. We are the only ones, the only part of God's creation that He created in His own image. That's why I refer to all of us as His prized creation. That means He is so in love with us that He rejoices with gladness over us. He's not angry with us. Oftentimes, you hear people describing God as this big being who has a sledgehammer or a baseball bat ready to just whack us over the heads with. No, that's not the correct picture of God at all. He's not angry with us. He doesn't wish that He had never created us. None of us are a mistake. Please, please get that. You are not a mistake. God rejoices over His children. I know not everyone had or have parents who rejoices or rejoiced over you. But those of us who did can certainly relate to this verse. I mean, my parents, I was very blessed with awesome parents who loved the Lord, and they rejoiced over my brother and my sister and myself, even through my faults and imperfections, and God knows I have many. My parents still loved me, no matter what. God loves me even more. He loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. And even if your parents did not rejoice over you, just understand this, someone much more important does, God. God Almighty rejoices over you. So you are loved. You are the apple of God's eyes. See, God doesn't have one particular person that He loves more than the other. He loves us all the same. And God rejoices over you. Psalms chapter 41, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. You see that word pleasure? God takes pleasure in His people. Psalms 147, verse 11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and those who hope in His steadfast love. There it is again, pleasure. God takes pleasure in His people. He rejoices over us. Number four, He quiets us by His love. This is where it gets so intimate. He quiets us with His love. Sometimes voices attack our minds. Our minds can be very, very, very noisy, a very noisy place. So much going on. Voices of fear, voices of insecurity, condemnation, just mean, nasty things that people say to us. All the lies that Satan says to us. But the Lord is telling us, no, don't listen to those voices. I'm going to put my arms around you, just like a mother would, and I'm going to quiet you, calm you, comfort you. I will calm your fears. What we have to do is to open up to His presence. We do. We have to open up to His presence and receive this love that He has given us and let Him quiet, let His love quiet our hearts. You can't have peace if your heart is agitated. If your mind is going 100 miles an hour, you can't have peace. But God wants to give us His peace through His love, as His love quiets, calms us, soothes our hearts, soothes our minds. Let me give you this example. When you were a child, did you ever have a bad dream? And you woke up and you started yelling for mama or for daddy? I did. I would. I'd have a bad dream and I would usually wake up and start yelling, Daddy, Daddy. And my dad came every time. And he sat down on my bed and he would quiet my fears, calm me down with His love and with His very presence in my room by my side. You see, this is exactly what God does. He does the same thing. We call on Him and He's right here. He's right there with us. And His very presence we can feel. And He calms us with His great love, with His amazing love. So let Him quiet you with that amazing love that only God has. Number five, God exalts over you with loud singing, or exceedingly rejoices over you with loud singing. Did your mom or dad or grandparents ever sing to you? My mom used to sing to me in the mornings when she'd would wake me up for school. You know, I would act like it annoyed me, but actually it didn't. I loved it. And I actually looked forward to hear my mom sing to me many times just in a very silly way. But she did it because she loved me. I love her, and I loved hearing her sing to me. My grandmother, when we'd go visit her, she would have me sitting in her lap, or my head lying down on her lap, in the swing on her front porch, and she would sing. That just comforted me so much. The comfort and joy that my mom and my grandmother gave me through singing over me, I still remember to this day, and that was many, many years ago. But see, God, He sings over us loudly. Why? Because He loves us. His song over us is born out of His great love for us. You are loved this much by Almighty God. Don't let anyone tell you any differently. You are loved. Always remember that. God loves you so much. Christian author Craig Dennison wrote this: "To exalt is to be joyful or jubilant because of a triumph or success. You can have joy today because your God sees you as a triumph. You have been transformed. You are a new creation. You are what God has most desired in the earth. His chief longing has always been relationship with us. And by your faith in Jesus Christ, you have given Him what He has always wanted. God exalts over you today, just as you are. He longs for intimate relationship with you. He wants to give you ears to hear His loud singing, that you might have the same perspective for yourself as He has for you." In the Ragamuffin Gospel, Brennan Manning says, "My deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it." May you come to the awareness of how deeply you are loved by God today. May you allow God to love what you have deemed unlovable in your own life. May Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 be a foundation on which you experience the overwhelming joy that comes from God's inexplicable love for you. And you will experience the most incredible love ever, I promise you. And you will cry out, "Abba, Father." As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Abba means daddy. That's how we are to look at our Father. We are so in love with Him that we just call Him daddy. That's that intimate, precious name. Abba, Father. He loves us. We're His children if we have received His Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then we're His children, and He's our daddy. So call out to Him today. He loves you so much. I just can't explain it enough or tell you enough how much He loves you. Open up His Word, read the Gospels, and see how much He loves you. If you have any questions, please call me at 334-494-4995. Or you can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Jesus loves you. May God bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.